You're listening to The Common Cause with Phil Lyman and Mike Peterson.
Hello, Mike.
Hello, Phil. How are you tonight?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Perfect. It's Friday
Perfect
night.
Is good.
This is the way to spend the evening.
Right?
On the phone with my favorite representative from Blanding.
Yeah, talking about politics and quite a week it's been for politics.
You know, I had lunch today with the guys from the office, and as we were walking out the door, one of them said, "Can we promise that next week we won't talk about politics?"
Right.
I said, "Well, I can't really make that promise."
Somebody a couple of years ago, when I was the commissioner, newly elected commissioner, I was also the bishop, and then I've got my business, and he came up and he said, "Are you guys talking business, politics, or religion?" And I said, "It's all the same. It's all the same thing. So you can't separate them, you know?"
Yeah. Well, what's on your mind tonight?
Well, probably the same thing that's on a lot of people's mind, just kind of the just watching what's happening in Washington, D.C. and around the country and in Utah, and kind of the progression of government, and then kind of the collapse of some of these motions and movements, and I don't know, exposing a lot of kind of ulterior motives and things like that. It's been really an interesting couple of days.
You know, probably what's, I mean, just there's a lot of frustrations, a lot of discouragements, a lot of worries, there's a lot of emotions, but one thing that keeps running through my mind is that none of this could have or should have happened had we kept states as sovereign states. What I'm getting at is we've made the office of the president a far bigger deal than we should have.
Yeah, yeah. To be the president of the United States should not put a person in such a high level of scrutiny. I mean, they're important. You know, the executive branch is important. He's the head of that branch, but it's one branch, and he's one person and one voice. And if he's doing a terrible job, it shouldn't mean the downfall of the country. Or if he's doing a great job, it shouldn't mean that, oh, this is wonderful. We've got this fantastic, you know, savior of a president. Yeah. It's just way too much that we place on that. And yeah, and the whole system suffers when we do it. So I agree with you on that.
We've done the same thing with the Supreme Court. I don't think the founders intended that bringing a member onto the Supreme Court would be such a huge ordeal. And in fact, I think that's what, well, in fact, I know it's why. I mean, a member of the Supreme Court has a lifetime appointment because they are so far from the people. And while they, you know, there's the three branches, but there's something it wasn't intended that they be so the be all end all. We've made that branch way too big.
Well, yeah, and the Supreme Court has become kind of a super legislature. They're like irrefutable, and they're making laws, and they're taking, you know, usurping the rights of the legislature or the duties of the legislature, and you know, aggressively and actively trying to change the republic, that was not intended to be that way, for sure.
No, you know, and I think it's also interesting, Phil, when you look at I pulled up my copy of the Constitution, and you know, I've never taken I'm not a legal scholar or anything. I just, it's just my own studying and reading and things about things. But one of the things I've noticed, I've never heard anybody say this, and you correct me if you think I'm wrong, but it's interesting that Article 1 is about Congress, right?
Mm-hmm.
You flip through, Article 2 is about what? The president. And number 3 is about the judicial power, which I think they're in that order for a reason. that sort of like I think that our Bill of Rights are in order for a reason. I think that those articles are for a reason, that that while they're co-equal, there is something about Congress, and there is less about president, and even less about the Supreme Court, the judicial.
You know, that's anyway. one of the quotes from Pelosi that I agreed with. Somebody asked her about what's more powerful, the Congress or the president? She said the Congress. Congress is definitely they have the final word. They write the laws. Even the president is subject to the laws. And and legislatures at the state level are kind of a similar type responsibility. Whether they want to or not, the buck has to stop with the legislature. They can't say, "Oh, well, the governor said to, and we just kind of went along with it." You can't take that escape route either.
And you know, that's an interesting point, Phil, because that's part of what's been going on this last little while with Trump's team and people across the country being wondering about what's happened with the integrity. And in my mind, the integrity of the election. Sure, you might have some questions about the voting machines, and you might have some questions about whether you think mail-in balloting is right, and you might have some questions about whether all those kinds of things. But in my mind, the most important thing that concerns me is that it tells us in the Constitution how the election's supposed to happen. Laws are made by the legislative branch in each respective state. And what's happened is that governors and secretaries of state and even Supreme Courts within the states have altered election procedures when it's not their business to alter election procedures. It is absolutely in the hands of the state legislature. For me, that's the part that concerns me I've never agreed with Nancy Pelosi on anything, but from what you've said, I have to agree with her. The laws are made by Congress, not by the judicial system, and not by the governor or the other executives, and that's the part that concerns me most about what's been going on.
And I think that's what the question she was asked is the Congress as important as the president? And she said, it's more important. It's more powerful and it's more important. Yeah.
Yep.
Well, and you said something at the beginning of this that, you know, it's not so much about which branch of government is most important. They're all in place to preserve the people's, you know. And George Mason he's the governor. He was the governor of Virginia, and I've got a lot of respect for him. And I was just pulling up something here while we're talking, and one of the quotes on this says, "Throughout history, it had been the citizen who owed duties to the state, which in turn might bestow certain rights on the citizen." Mason argued that the state had to observe citizens' rights that could not be violated under any circumstances. So he reversed in writing in the Virginia Declaration of Independence. He reversed in writing that the citizen had the rights and the state had to respect those rights. And anyway, if we looked at things, if government really stayed true to that, which is the whole idea of the Constitution. And I think when someone makes an oath to uphold the Constitution, they're saying, "I uphold that Republican form of government that recognizes that all branches of government have one purpose, one primary purpose, which is to preserve individual rights."
Yep. Let me bring it back to sort of our, I think, the beginning of our discussion. There's another thing that goes through my mind quite often. Ezra Taft Benson once said, well, maybe probably said it more than once, that we'd be well to remember that the states created the federal government, not that the federal government created the states. And I think that's a pretty significant thing to remember, that the states created the federal government, not the other way around.
Right. And the purpose for doing that was to, you know, provide a strong central government with very limited and specific powers, and not a strong central government with unlimited powers that would trample over the individual's rights of the states. And anyway, there's it's so simple in its founding, but so easy to get kind of polluted and corrupted. And I guess it's just the way nature and disposition of governments is to expand their power and for individual liberties to give way. And that's what we see happening. And it doesn't matter whether it's a Democrat or Republican or whatever, the same tendencies exist in government.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. That you're exactly right. It's part of that, it's a tendency of all men when they get a little power.
Mm-hmm.
Things just, I look at what's going on right now in our country. And if we were better adherents to the principles of the Constitution, we would not be where we're at today. I don't think there wouldn't be question about whether or not the debate or whether or not the elections were fair. There wouldn't be the rioting going on. There wouldn't be all this stuff would be. Well, it wouldn't be happening, I don't think.
Well, what do you say, Mike, to someone who kind of says, I'm just done with this. I'm changing my party affiliation. I'm unaffiliated. I'm checking out. I'm not going to participate in this anymore. I got better things to do with my time than pay attention to politics.
Oh, yeah, and people are saying that everywhere. And to be, it's crossed my mind. It's crossed my mind. And again, I'm going to go back to something that I heard from Ezra Taft Benson at one point. And I don't know the exact quote, but he said something like, I was listening to a talk he gave in like 1968, so 50 years ago. He was clearly concerned about what he was seeing taking place in the country with the push towards socialism, even 50 years ago. And amidst all of his concern, he said, I'm not, what was the word he used? I'm not going to retreat. I'm mustering my resolve. I'm doubling my resolve to go at it and dedicate myself to making sure that I do my part. And when I think about your question, for me and for my friends and people that I can come in contact now, I'm talking with them about this now. That as much as we're frustrated by what's happening and what's happened and all the concerns that we have, this is not the time for us to give up. This is the time for us to resolve to move forward. And so they say, well, what are we supposed to do? Well, clearly it's not about going to riot. So what do? I think we teach the true principles found in the Constitution. That's probably the most basic fundamental thing that we could do right now is help make sure that we find our way back to the fundamentals, to the foundation on which this great nation was founded. That's going to be the only place for safety is back to the home base, you know? Clearly we need to rely on God and pray and trust in Him. I think we need to be faithful, not fearless. We need to trust Him, rely on Him, and we need to know that this country is not. I've said before, this country was not an experiment. He knew exactly what He was doing, and now it's our time to shine. It's our time as individuals to say, I am going to be a patriot. Not by going and trying to rush Nancy Pelosi's office, obviously. I'm going to do it by following what it says in the Constitution. So anyway, Hope that makes sense.
It does. Yeah. And it's exciting. What kind of got me into politics 10 years ago was a book that I was reading. It was by Bill Redd and Bill Howell, the Statehood, the Territorial Imperative, but it was just constitutional principles. It's reading through it and reading about the Articles of Confederation and the battles that they were having, you know, the philosophical debates that were going on. And it's exciting stuff. And it gets right down to the core. And what makes America so unique is that we're talking about a nation founded on the premise that, you know, men are created equal and that
they have rights given to them by God.
Yeah. And this idea of government by the consent, by the consent of the governed, it's just, it really is. I mean, those aren't new concepts. Those go back to, you know, ancient Greece and Rome and stuff, but no modern nation was ever founded on those principles. Some of them kind of came to it and wrote about it, but this country was, you know, at its core, at its genesis, was designed to do just that. And it's of course it's divine, and of course it's intended to go through these trials and these battles. And I think it's a great opportunity, great challenges and great opportunities at the same time.
I think that, Phil, as representatives, I'm excited about the chance that we have to, as a legislature, to, you know, the state of Utah already is a wonderful example in so many ways. We have the lowest unemployment. We have the lowest or the best room for economic movement. You know, if you come
mobility, with,
mobility in Utah is unmatched. There's a lot of good and right and wonderful things about the state of Utah, and I think we can even shine further. We get the chance at this point to say, look, we get the chance to help pull this state into a constitutional, to be more in line with constitutional principles, so that we can show the rest of the country why that's important and the blessings and the benefits that come as we become less reliant on government, less reliant, especially on the federal government. I think we have some great opportunity ahead of us.
One thing that I've always struggled with this, and I think it's just in my nature to be kind of a protester and a little bit contrarian. And so when people are,
really?
Are, you know, yes, absolutely. It's true.
Well, I can prove it too. I never noticed.
But there's something in me that respects, it respects protest. It respects people who are willing to do more than just sit at home and grumble about it. I look at throughout history, you know, if people had been a little bit more willing to stand up to power, you know, in Warsaw, Poland, for example, during the Nazi invasion, you read about these things, and I'm not judging what they did. I think they were, you know, extremely brave and you know, mm-hmm. wonderful, great people, but it's like, man, if they'd have nipped that in the bud, you know, could they have changed the course of things? And you're not going to do it with being agreeable all the time. And I hear people say, you know, the most important thing is that we're nice and that we're agreeable. And there's something about that that I guess I wrestle with. It is why I bring it up, because I want to see people that will take it seriously enough to, you know, just say, we're not doing this. We're just not going to do it this way. Or if there's, you know, if there's cheating in the voting system, to have the courage to say, hey, this is what I observed, and be able to do it, you know, in a civil way, and that's bring it about and really have these things brought to light. But as you and I have talked about before, it takes a lot of courage in any setting to kind of say, hey, I see how everybody is talking about this, and I tend to see it differently anyway.
Yep.
So it was challenging.
Well, Phil, we're about 20 minutes.
It goes fast.
It does go fast. I doubt if anybody wants to listen to us ramble on about our philosophies any longer than 20 minutes. But if they do, they can join in for the next session, our next episode, our next phone call.
Well, I I appreciate you, Mike. I appreciate you helped to strengthen my resolve. And so talking about these things, and hopefully when other people listen, whatever their position is on things, maybe it strengthens their resolve and we can have some candor and some debate and some discussions that lead to shared realities.
I've told you many times that I would be that I need you, because I need to know there are other people who feel like I do. And in fact, I talk to people all the time who feel like we do. I think there's far more people who in their hearts feel some of what we do. But man, sometimes when the wave gets moving, it's just so scary and difficult to.
Well, I've always thought it, you know, it's funny. You get two groups of people together that may agree on 95% of everything. And what do they focus on? The 5% of things that they disagree
that's
on.
Right.
And you know, maybe that's productive. Maybe that's what they should be talking about. But like you said, even I think in America, even people who are on the far left, when you get down to some of the core values of America, at least when I hear them talk about the Constitution in America, I don't think they're bluffing when they say that they love the country. They may have a different way of administrating and a different idea of what liberty means. But anyway, we are kind of rambling along, but I appreciate you too. And I appreciate these
phone calls,
chances to talk.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
so,
all right. I do think, Phil, next time we ought to talk, I think our listeners would be really interested to hear about your experience being pardoned by President Trump, your experience, you know, the time you spent down in purgatory. I think folks would be interested to know from your perspective in 10 or 15 or 20 minutes, rather than just having to read little sound bites on in the Tribune or something. Cause I think there's some interesting story there and some things to learn from your experience. So maybe we could do that the next couple of times.
Well, thank you. I'd love to talk about it. Yeah. I'd love to talk about it. Cause it was profound for me. And,
I've thought a lot of times about things you've told me. Many times they've crossed my mind, and I just keep thinking other people need to hear what you experienced. So anyway, okay.
Well, thank you. Yeah.
We'll talk about it.
It's a date.
Okay. Okay. Have a good night. Tell Jody. Okay.
Well, yeah. We'll do. Say hi to Sally.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
Okay. Thanks, Mike. See you.
Thanks for listening to The Common Cause with Phil and Mike. You can email your comments and questions to thecommoncausepodcast@gmail.com. We hope you'll subscribe and that you'll give us a 5-star review.